So Jockey Club racecourses have come on the road into the thick of it in Northern Racing territory. We're sitting here in Costa in Moulton with jockey Danny Cook. Danny, first of all, how did you get involved in racing?
Well, I used to watch racing on the weekend with my dad and my granddad, and we used to have a bet on the weekend on the Saturday racing, so we'd all get round and watch the racing really on the Saturday. My granddad and obviously my dad will have a little bet. I'd do a little play spot and be cheering on the horses. And I finished school and I didn't really know what to do with myself, so I sent off to the army and to the racing school, and I said whatever comes through first is what I'd get into, and the racing school come back first, and I went on from there really.
So you did how long at the racing school?
I'd done 12 weeks at the racing school. I was a fresher, like I didn't know anything about horses, so I started from basic. So first of all, I'd learnt how to put tack on, how to brush a horse and whatever else, that the horse care really. And then as it worked, like went into the weeks, learnt to ride, and then by the end of it, I got an award for like a most improved rider there, and obviously went on from there really.
So what was your first job?
First job was with my dad. Landscape gardening. My dad's a landscape gardener, so I went straight from school, done that, and I wanted to get out and experience a bit of the world, really. Well, experience a bit of England. Basically, I just wanted to travel and do something different. So went from there.
So I guess when you finish riding, we'll maybe come back to that, but you might want to go around rearranging some of the race courses, perhaps.
Yeah. Try and get a couple of the divots out, it's one thing I'll be doing when I finish my racing career, because I do it every summer through racing. When the great racing gets a bit quieter, I'll go home to help out with the firm, and it's what I'll be getting back into when I finish racing. I wouldn't want to be a trainer or anything like that. I've got no interest in anything like that.
Okay, what about your first job in racing itself?
My first job in racing was with Jim Old. I went from the racing school, went to Jim Old. I was there for a year and a half. Taught me a lot about being a horseman more than being a jockey. Just basically just learning how horses think, trying to get in their heads, and just trying to anticipate everything a horse does, trying to react to it in the quickest and best way possible, you know?
And from there you went on to, was it the David Pike move the next thing?
I went to a little trainer called Barry Levy, where he gave me my first winner. I was an amateur and he gave me my first three winners, and then I went from there. I wanted to try and give it a go in a big yard and see if I could make it or not, and that's when I went to David Pipes and made a career for myself out down there really.
So no shortage of self-confidence then?
I was 24 at this stage, so it was my kind of last chance, because I'd been plotting around and not really making much of a go of it, so it was my last chance to give it my best shot, because I went to Barry Levy's, and then I left there. I went home and worked for my dad for a couple of years and quit altogether, and I was just like, I just want to give it one more go. And then I went to David Pipes as a stable lad, and then got me amateur licence, and then it literally went on from there.
And how are things working for a yard with a reputation like that?
Brilliant really, because you're riding good horses. When you get the opportunities to ride, you're riding good horses, but you're working with good horses as well, so every time you get up the gallops you're learning, you can ride with confidence, and it's a big help.
And in terms of getting up on the good horses, I mean, how difficult is that? You know, who are you queuing up behind?
Obviously we had some good lads down there. I started off fourth in line as an amateur, and that's without the conditionals and then the professionals. So I started off fourth. Two of them got injured in one race, and then the week after we had two in an amateur race. So I got the second string in the amateur race because the other lad got the other ride, and I ended up finishing second on a 100-1 shot. And then my second ride for them was on Channel 4 a week later at Cheltenham in an amateur race, and that finished second as well in the Rannoch Cracker. So I went from being fourth to then to being first amateur, and then going into getting a lot of rides against professionals as well.
And what about what you learn from something like a Martin and a David Pipe?
Yeah, you learn a lot, because they're very good at letting you giving you good advice, they, like, is a big help. And obviously, after you rode the race for them, they'd take you up to the house, go through the race with you, point out your faults and point out your good bits, what you did right. So it gives you a bit of confidence, but gives you something to work on for the future as well. And obviously, you had good jockeys like we had Timmy Murphy, David Pipe, and obviously Tom Skew there as well. So they were a big help. So they give you plenty of advice as well.
And was that a kind of happy yard to work in, with the winners still being fired in and all that?
Yeah, very happy. I really, really enjoyed it, and I'd recommend it to any young lads starting out. To go there for experience, if nothing else. But yeah, it's a very powerful yard, and obviously they've got great facilities, and they know what they're doing. So it's great to be around. If you want to work in racing, then you want to experience what the best people do, and it's a great experience, and I'd recommend it to anyone, really.
So you've gone from almost one end of the geographical spectrum to the other, going from down in the Devon area to, you know, up here in Moulton, Thirsk, I think is the way you say you're living these days. How did that move come about?
I broke my collarbone. I only had two left in my claim, and I broke my collarbone at Utoxeter. And one of the owners at Brian's, named Dan Gilbert, he asked me to ride all of his horses. He was getting quite a few horses, and quite a few nice horses coming from off the flat to go jumping. And Brian says, well, if you're going to ride his, then you might as well come and ride all of mine. And I looked, and there is a space up north for a couple of good jockeys. You know, there isn't too many top jockeys about. So I was hoping that I could try and make a career out of racing up here, because down south is so competitive, and it's very hard to get rides. And obviously I had David, but apart from that, I was pretty, all my eggs were kind of in one basket. But now everything's gone well, and I just keep kicking from here, really. But it was a big move at the time.
When did that change come about? When did you move?
I moved, it was about 5 years ago. About 5 years ago. And so I think it must have been like 2010 or 2011 season. So so it was then, and then literally since then it's gone from strength to strength, and the longer I'm being up here, the more contacts I'm getting.
You're obviously quite a resilient character, because it's not been all plain sailing, has it? You stepped out for a couple of years, and then you've had the bans with, well, what happened with the cocaine incident during the early part of this year, plus as well some of the riding bans as well, 22 days I think, and another 10 day ban. So yeah. I mean, you've got to be, I guess, quite thick-skinned and quite resilient, and you know, not worry too much about what people say to come back from those sort of things.
Yeah, you have to be. I mean, is everyone's going to have their own opinions in any kind of sport or any job you do? Everyone's going to have their own opinions. I believe in my own ability. I believe if I'm riding a horse that's good enough underneath me, I can do as good a job as anybody. And I think that's how you need to be. I ride with confidence. I'm a confident person anyway. So basically, just keep confident, keep your head up, and keep going forward.
You had that 6 months off. We can't talk to you without, you know, talking about that. What were your feelings at the time when that came out? And was it a surprise to you, for example, when the sample tested positive?
It was obviously embarrassment was the first thing. The shame of having to tell me parents and stuff, that was the hardest part. And then obviously having to tell the trainers and owners. But it's a lesson learned. We move forward from that, and just keep my head down and just keep working hard, really.
So during that 6 months, obviously I had plenty of time to reflect. What were you doing?
Landscape gardening. I went home to my dad's, and literally started taking over a bit more of the firm back home. I was in two minds whether to come back at all, but I didn't want to finish on the term of the cocaine ban. So I wanted to come back and put things right, and which I feel like I am doing, and I feel like it's getting better, and I'm riding with more confidence now than I ever have done. So I think the break might have done me some good, but it was not a nice way to get it and go around getting banned like that. It wasn't nice, but there's nothing I can do about it now. I just have to keep going forward.
Well, you know, you took it on the chin at the time, and you know, accepted the punishment, and you were quite public about doing that. Would you have any advice for any other jockeys, you know, who might come across this interview in terms of their actions and their behaviours?
If you've done something wrong, the best thing you can do is to hold your hands up and apologise to for letting everybody down. So if you've done something wrong, the best thing and the only thing you can do is apologise, hold your hands up, don't make excuses, don't blame anybody else. It's your fault. You take responsibility for your own actions, and that's what I've always done, and that's what I'll always continue to do.
Just while we're on the band front, I mentioned those couple of bands for taking the wrong course. Can you recall those and what that was like?
I can, yeah. That was a dark days. I just was riding with no confidence at the time, and when I done it the first time, I just lost all my confidence. And the thing is, with me, I'm quite a forward going jockey anyway. So if my horse is wanting to go forward, I'm not one to take a pull too much and disappoint it. I'd let it just find its own rhythm. So I wasn't riding with great confidence, and I was kind of scared to be in front half the time because I was overthinking things and trying to think of things that weren't actually there, and that's why I kept making mistakes, because I was just overthinking it instead of just riding the race and riding the courses how it come to me. I was just kind of always anticipating that obstacles to be in my way.
Okay, but you've come back from that. You've come back from the tough stuff, and you've been prepared to talk to us about that as well, which is great. And now things are on the rise again. What, 20 over 20 winners so far this season?
Yeah. So I've been back three and a half, 4 months, maybe. It's gone from strength to strength, really. I've had winners for lots of different trainers as well. I've got lots of support. Sue Smith's horses are obviously going in great form. Brian Ellison's got some really nice horses as well. And I've got new contacts as well. I've had a winner for John Quinn and Jim running a bit for Jim Goldie and Peter Niven. I've had a winner for him this year, and I've got lots of different contacts, which is good.
And riding for somebody like Harvey Smith, for example, he's a great horseman that he's been. Is he open with his advice, and does he tell you how he wants things doing, or is he kind of hands off and leave it to Danny Cook?
To be fair, he's been very good to me. He fills me with confidence. He lets me do. They Sue and Harvey. They let me just do as I please. Really, they say you're the one who's riding them. You do what you feel you need to do. So they've been very good with me. If they're doing that, I ride with confidence, and I'm doing the right things by me and the horse, without trying to do anything stupid. I'm just keeping it simple, and it seems to be paying off.
And before things went astray last season, you were on 31 winners at that point, and best ever season. 2021 is it so far this year?
Yeah.
So, you know, at this stage, every optimism, I guess, that you're going to pass that total. Is it maybe a 50 that you might aim for, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the initial aim for when I got back was if I could get to beat last year, I'd be pleased. But the way things are going, I'd be looking to get maybe 40. Would be nice if I can get in the 40s, and if I could get to 50, it'd be great. But I want to ride nice horses, and I want to ride Saturday winners, which is what it's all about, really. But I'm happy to ride most, like, any day's winners, but it's on the big days, on the Saturdays when people take notes, so they're the ones I want to win.
Speaking of Saturday winners, the Peter Marsh chase at Haydock back in January of 2010. So not that long ago. Our Vic, what are your recollections of that big winner?
That was a good day for me, because it was my first ride back from my 3 week ban on Al Vic. I went the wrong way on him at Cheltenham, and I was banned for 3 weeks, and my first ride back was on Al Vic in the Peter Marsh chase. So for me to get my ban on him, the owners and trainer to trust me to ride him in the Peter Marsh chase and then go and win it was a great thrill.
And a great, lovely horse, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a proper horse. You don't get to ride many of them riding, you know, when as a jockey. So when your opportunities are there to ride a horse like him, it's a joy.
And I can remember standing at on the lawn at Cheltenham in 2010 when the youngish Danny Cook came storming up the hill on Great Endeavour. What do you recollect about that day, festival winner?
Yeah, very good, very good. I'm waiting for another one, but they're hard to come by. But no, that was a great day. I rode him twice, won on him twice, and he was a very, very good horse. And it was a shame that we'd never got to see the full potential in him. He passed away at a young age, but he was a very good horse, and it was a joy to ride.
If you can pick one horse for us in training at the moment with anybody that you could ride in a race, what would that horse be? What would the race be?
I'll have to say one of my own, because I know I love riding him so much, and it's Stradnahanna. He's one of my favourites, and he's a horse I really enjoy riding. I actually managed to put him on the floor the last day. I think he could make up into a future national horse one day, and he's one of the horses I really enjoy riding, and I just hope he's only 6 year old. He's only just coming into himself now, and I think he's got good 3 or 4 years in him, and to make him to a proper horse.
And what's so good about riding him?
He's just a pleasure to ride. He's just got everything. He can go. He's very neat to jump. He's very scopey. He travels. He's relaxed and he quickens. He's just a really really pleasurable horse to ride. He just does all the right things, and he's a horse that's got a big future.
The best you've ridden, would that be Alvik?
Yeah, Alvik would probably be the best I've ridden. He was just going out of his time when he won the Peter Marsh and anything, but I'd say like the year or two before that was when he beat KO Star in the Totes Book Bowl at Aintree, and he was a very good horse on his day. Yeah, he obviously won the Ryanair as well at Cheltenham. So yeah, I'd say he'd have to be my best horse. But I'm hoping I'm coming into my prime, and we've got a few nice horses about that I could maybe better it. But it takes some doing. But hopefully we can get a few nice horses under our belt, and look forward to maybe Cheltenham in March, and or if not this year, definitely maybe the year after, because there's a few nice ones, young ones coming through.
What's been the best and worst days then of your riding career?
The worst days was the best day was Great Endeavour at the Cheltenham Festival. It was just it was great to be a part of the team, and David Johnson, who was so good to me, who kept putting me up after I messed up on Alvik. He kept putting me up at, so it was to reward them the faith they paid in me. And obviously to have a Cheltenham Festival winner. The worst day was going the wrong way on Gaspara, I'd say, at Newton Abbott on a night meeting. That would probably be one of my worst. As she'd been, it's the first race she'd won in about 5 years, and then she got disqualified for me going bypassing the second last hurdle.
Did the pipe team have a word about that afterwards?
Yeah, it wasn't. To be fair, they were very supportive, but I'm my own worst critic at the best of times, so I didn't need many people telling me that I've messed up. I knew I'd done bad myself.
What's the best piece of advice you'd received in racing?
I suppose in racing it's just ride the race, let the race come to you instead of trying to force it. Would be one of the best advices to let the horse find its own feet. But the best piece of advice I'd ever have had is that anything you do, do 100%, because if you're not putting 100% into it, then it's not worth doing. So my dad's always said that to me, and that's what I always aim to do. Is every time I go out on the horse or anything I'm doing, I try and give 100% and do as best I can.
How difficult is it when you're a jockey with obvious ability, and yet you are, you know, seemingly at the back of a queue where there are two or three people at the top getting so many rides and so many opportunities in big races, and you are still kind of waiting for that odd run here and there and still riding your 20 odd 30 40 winners a season?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've had a lot of setbacks through injuries and stuff like that in the last 5 years. I don't think I've managed a full season. I've had broken knee, I was out for 6 months, broken ankle, I was out for 6 months. So I've had a lot of setbacks, but I feel like I'm just coming into my prime now, and I feel like my best days are ahead of me, and I think I hope they will come. But again, like I say, the last four Saturdays now we've had a winner every Saturday and doubles, so those horses are coming in to themselves. We've got some nice horses, nice young horses coming through, and I think the Saturday winners are going to come, and hopefully, like you say, we can just get a real good one and can keep us in the big time.
Now, if the Father Christmas or the God of Racing said, Danny Cook, you can have any other jockey's job in the UK, whose would you pick?
I'd have to say Aidan Coleman's then. I suppose as you're busy all year round, you've got a lot of nice horses to ride through the summer, through Ferguson's, John Ferguson's. You can just, they come from the flat, they're fit and they're schooled up well, and they win nice races through the summer, win all the races through the summer basically, and then in the winter you got obviously John Ferguson's got some nice horses coming through again, some nice juveniles and novices, and then you've got the Venetia Williams to back you up in the nice big staying chases as well.
Okay, race wise, which race would you most like to get your hands on?
I'd like to win the Gold Cup. Yeah, I'd like to win the Gold Cup. Or just win again at Cheltenham Festival. Any race there but would be nice. But obviously the Gold Cup would be, I'd like to win that.
And when you win a race at the festival, do you get a chance to take it all in, or is it all happening too fast?
It probably does all happen fast, but it's you're down in history. Like, there's not many people who can say who's riding that can say they've had a Cheltenham Festival winner. So it's a rarity for people, and it is like our Olympics. It's the racing Olympics, you know. It's the one we all look forward to. If you're not there racing, you're sitting on the telly watching it. You just want to be a part of it, you know. And the atmosphere is great. Everybody, like, the atmosphere is there better there than anywhere. It's just they're proper racing fans, and they're there to see the horses and see them do well, you know.
Okay, well, let's just leave us with one last thought then, Danny. Your ambition. Where does Danny Cook go from here?
Keep riding more winners, really. I want to get better. I want to ride more winners. I think my statistics are 19, 18, 19, 20% all the time. So I think my statistics are pretty good on the win ratio with what I ride. But I just want more rides, more winners, and be nice to make it in the top 10 jockeys, really. I'm in the top 20, but I'd like to push in for the into the top 10 and go from there, really.
Listen, many thanks for your time. You've been a great sport, and we do wish you all the very best for not only this but this season, but for the future as well. Many thanks.
Thank you very much. Cheers.